Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Stasia Bucca. Stasia is a student in the doctoral program at the University of Iowa College of Nursing in Iowa City. And together with colleagues Sharon Murph, Lisa Quito, Rita Jablonski, they wrote an article for us that appears in our October issue. And the article is called Mouth Care to Reduce Ventilator-Associated Pneumonia. Welcome, Stasia.
Thank you.
So the article, as I indicated when we first spoke, I was very interested in getting this piece because mouth care is something that we all know we should be doing. We all learned it as nursing students, yet it seems to be something that people don't take that seriously. And while everyone takes ventilator-associated pneumonia seriously, and many places have these grand initiatives to reduce VAP pneumonia, mouth care is not something that you regularly see discussed. So I was very happy to see this article. What made you really focus on this, as you say in the article, as you know, the primary way to reduce ventilator-associated pneumonia? What prompted you to really look at this piece of it?
Well, it began when I was an undergraduate nursing student several years ago. I was doing my clinical rotations through various ICUs, and I was noticing whenever I would approach my preceptors, you know, about oral care, they would kind of like shrug it off and say, oh, we'll get to it. You know, we have 12-hour shifts. You know, it's not a big deal. And some of these patients were actually stable enough that we could do oral care at that time, but we didn't. And being a nursing student, sometimes you don't take the initiative or you're not assertive enough to say, hey, I think we should do this, you know, now while we have some time. And so I just kind of went along with it and said, okay, I guess we'll get to it. And a lot of the times the nurses never did, but sometimes I would end up just doing it because I knew it was something that was important, not just to be doing, but something that I knew would also help the patient. And so, you know, just floating through several ICUs, I kept noticing, you know, this oral care thing, they just don't seem to, you know, take this serious. So I actually had to do a research paper on a critical care topic. And I remember my instructor talking about mechanical ventilators and pneumonia. And she kind of hit on oral care, and I thought, this might be something to look at, being that I was noticing that it wasn't being done. So I said, okay, well, let me just kind of go into the literature and see what's out there and see what others are doing about this. And, you know, lo and behold, there is a pretty good piece of literature on oral care and VAP. And so I started to kind of look into this while I was writing my paper and noticed that it's really more of a big deal than a lot of nurses are taking it. And so I wrote this paper, and my instructor came back and she said, you know, this is really good. And I'm just looking at her like, yeah. I just wrote it so I could get it done. I'm trying to get out of, you know, this class. And so she was like, no, I really think it's good. I think you should think about publishing. And I'm really looking at her weird like, okay.
So you didn't think this was something that that publishing was something that you could do?
Oh, no, not as an undergraduate. That was, you know, the least thing on my mind. So I just kind of went along and said, okay, you know, and I started to think about it, and I'm thinking, is she really, you know, right? Can I get this published? Is it even important enough to publish? So I actually went to Penn State for that summer and spent 6 weeks there, and I was working with Lisa Kitko, and she's a critical care nurse. So one day I brought up to her about my paper and what did she think about it. And she was like, okay, yeah, let me read it, and, you know, I'll get some comments to you. And so she did, and she gave me some comments, and she thought it was, you know, a paper that I could pursue. And so that's when I really seriously started thinking about, okay, well, maybe I should take this serious, and, you know, maybe I should, you know, work on this a little more and see if, you know, I can get it published. And I worked on it, oh, my goodness, for three good years before I actually, you know, got it to where I thought it was okay to submit, and last year I just took a leap of faith and submitted it. And
well, we're certainly glad you did, and I hope people who listen to the podcast, you know, take your comments to heart about publishing, and I think it's important because, you know, there are a lot of things that nurses do mm-hmm. that on the surface seem perhaps, you know, as you said, not a big deal, you
right.
know, and oftentimes, you know, we say, you know, expect perhaps somebody else to do the mouth care or say, oh, well, it's not a big deal. The patient's critical. Mouth care is not such a big deal. But
right.
As you present in your paper, you know, with the pathophysiology of the oral bacteria and how that relates to VAP, you know, it is a big deal. So yeah. I just think it's fabulous that you pursued this. Now, in your, where are you, right now you're a doctoral student.
Right.
Right. And where have you worked in the interim before this?
Well, I did, I finished undergrad and then I went straight back to get my master's at Penn State. And then I did most of my clinicals in long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished at Penn State and then I came straight here to Iowa. And when I moved here, I started working as a private duty nurse in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And working with older couples doing respite care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so most of my clinical experience is with older adults in some type of long-term or community-based care.
Mm-hmm. So, and your what's your doctoral work on?
My doctoral work is actually looking at pain management in older African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Pain is another huge problem, and we also see pain in the ICU as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my focus for my doctoral.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be looking forward to a paper from that.
Okay.
Now, in the sense of people who are going to be reading your article on mouth care in AJN, what do you think is the most important thing for nurses to take away from this article?
I think the most important thing is that the interventions that we do, whether they seem, you know, small or not, they're really, really important. They all have an effect on patient care in some way or another. And I think it's important that nurses recognize that, you know, mouth care is just not about comfort. It's just not about dignity, but it is about preventing VAP and about achieving good patient outcomes and helping them to recover faster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the thing that that I think is very helpful is there are so many different guidelines out there or recommendations, and one of the things you included was this fabulous chart. You show the recommendations from the American Association of Critical Care Nurses, the Association for APIC, Association for Professionals Infection Control and Epidemiology, the Thoracic Society, the CDC. I mean, so and you have it set up line by line, so readers can look and see just, you know, who recommends everything,
right.
who recommends only one of these things, and it's a great comparison because it can get a little confusing, I think,
yeah,
with all the different guidelines, and if you're trying to institute an evidence-based practice protocol, this is a great article to review because it does include a comparison of all the guidelines, so that must have taken some time to get all that together.
Well, it did, and initially I hadn't thought about including a chart until I was doing some revisions, and I think you mentioned something about looking at different organizations, and I thought, well, how can I put this all in the manuscript? And so I said, well, what about doing a chart, you know, comparing what organizations recommend, because like you said, there are so many different recommendations and guidelines. Sometimes when the nurses in the clinical setting are trying to develop an evidence-based practice guideline for their unit, they don't know where to start, and they don't know, you know, what's good evidence and what's not good evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this was a good way to kind of show a comparison, and then this will help them tailor their intervention for their specific unit.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to the chart, there's a Sasha and her colleagues actually take you through the different steps
yep.
and very clearly. So it is a wonderful guide if you're looking to institute some evidence-based oral care.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sasha, thank you so much for bringing this article to AJN and spending a few minutes giving us some background on how you came to write this. I hope readers will check out the article and will be waiting for future articles from you.
Well, thank you for accepting. It was a long time coming, but I'm glad I actually pursued it, and I hope it does help nurses to perform oral care.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.